Our message this afternoon is sanctification and regeneration. This message is the fourth in a series of messages on the great Bible doctrine of sanctification. In previous messages, we've considered the meaning of sanctification, then the progressive nature of sanctification, and then the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification. It is helpful and edifying for Christians to compare and contrast the great doctrines of the gospel. Doing this gives us a greater knowledge and understanding of these doctrines. In this message this afternoon, we shall compare and contrast the Bible doctrines of sanctification and regeneration. And in this message, I shall seek by means of comparison and contrast to distinguish sanctification from regeneration. In a future message, I shall seek to distinguish sanctification from justification. It's important that we recognize from the outset that while sanctification may be distinguished from regeneration, it can never be separated from it. In this message, I want us to look at four basic comparisons and contrast between these two great Bible doctrines. First of all, number one, regeneration is definitive sanctification. Regeneration is definitive sanctification. Now, as we noted in our first message in this series, there are two important aspects of biblical sanctification. First of all, there is definitive sanctification. Secondly, there is progressive sanctification. I know it's hard to remember these terms sometimes, so let's review this definitive sanctification for just a moment. Definitive sanctification is a term that was perhaps coined by John Murray in his great book, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. I hope you'll read that book at some point in your lifetime. Definitive sanctification is basically one and the same with regeneration. Now, there's more to regeneration than just sanctification. I know that, but it's basically one and the same with regeneration. Regeneration is definitive sanctification. So what is definitive sanctification? Definitive sanctification is sanctification in the past tense. I believe that's a good way to put it. Sanctification in the past tense. A one-time thing. For example, Jude 1 speaks of Christians as already sanctified. This, of course, speaks of definitive sanctification. Let's turn to Jude 1 and read this verse. First verse of the book of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So you see, are sanctified. That's past tense. It's already accomplished. That's definitive sanctification. Now, another example of this is seen in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. If you'll turn to that, Hebrews 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's past tense, a one-time thing. Definitive sanctification. Now, one more example. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. This also speaks of Christians as having already been sanctified. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, these examples are all speaking of regeneration while using the term sanctification. In this sense, regeneration is sanctification in the past tense. Now, the other aspect of sanctification, and this is the one on which we are primarily focusing in this series of messages, is what we call progressive sanctification. Regeneration, or definitive sanctification, is a momentary act, while sanctification is a progressive work of God in which the sinner cooperates. Turn to 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1 speaks of the Christian cleansing himself and perfecting holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Sanctification is a process in the life of a believer, and it is a progressive thing. Sanctification is the constant, progressive renewing of the whole man, in which the new creature daily and more dies to sin and lives to God. Sanctification is the progressive setting aside or separating of the child of God from sin and the world and to Christ. Sanctification is a work that proceeds by degrees until it is finally completed. A person cannot be more regenerate than he once was. He cannot be less regenerate than he once was or than another person. Sanctification, on the other hand, is progressive and it increases by degrees. One person may be more sanctified than another. And all persons are more sanctified today than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and so forth. Sanctification looks back to regeneration as its beginning. Regeneration is followed by sanctification. Stated technically, definitive sanctification is followed by progressive sanctification. I hope you can put all that together. I've labored to make that understandable. Regeneration is a one-time, instant, and internal act which radically changes a person's character. Sanctification, on the other hand, is the carrying on of the work begun in regeneration. The second comparison and contrast of regeneration and sanctification is that regeneration is a birth. It is spoken of as a birth, a spiritual birth. The Lord Jesus in John 3:7 speaks of regeneration as the new birth when he says, ye must be born again. But what does it mean to be born again? Well, that's not the subject of this message, but it is a temptation to preach on that. Let me just say a few words about it. What is this new birth or regeneration? Well, let me just give you about four descriptions of the new birth in the Scriptures. And maybe that will be an adequate definition today. Several definitions of regeneration are given in the Scriptures. First of all, Ezekiel 36:26 describes the new birth or regeneration as a taking away of the heart of stone and the giving of a heart of flesh. Let's turn to Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel, you didn't know the new birth was in the Old Testament, did you? Ezekiel 36:26 describes the new birth as a taking away of the heart of stone and the giving of a heart of flesh. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. In other words, the sin-hardened heart is taken away, and a new fleshly softened heart, sensitive to spiritual things, appreciative of spiritual things, is given in the new birth. All right? Secondly, a second description is found in Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Ezekiel 18 and verse 31 describes the new birth as the giving of a new heart. Ezekiel 18, 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? The old heart is gone. There is a new heart in the regenerate person. Thirdly, turn to Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 describes the new birth as putting the law of God into the heart. Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Ephesians 2:1 and Romans 6:11 and 13 describe this regeneration as a quickening or a making alive. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul is speaking to Christians here. And you hath he quickened, that is regenerated or made spiritually alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, Romans 6:11. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul is speaking to the Christians at Rome here. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. That's the regenerate person through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Paul continues in verse 13 of this same sixth chapter. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. That's regeneration. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Just as generation brings forth a natural baby with all the parts of his body there, though they're all weak at that time, so regeneration brings forth the spiritual baby that has all the parts of the new man, but needs spiritual food and spiritual exercise and spiritual development. Regeneration is the beginning of sanctification. But the work is not completed at regeneration. Look at Philippians 1:6 here. Philippians 1:6 tells us the work is not complete at regeneration. Paul is writing to the Christians at Philippi. When he says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I could just say, he who has begun a good work in regeneration will perform it in sanctification until the day of Jesus Christ. The new birth is not the goal. The new birth is the starting point of the new life. Regeneration is the beginning of holiness in the soul. But while regeneration is a birth, sanctification is a growth. Sanctification has its origin in regeneration. In this sense, the relation of regeneration to sanctification is the relation of an infant to an adult. Stated another way, regeneration is the birth, while sanctification is the growth of a babe in grace. The new life is continued in the spiritual growth that is called sanctification. God the Holy Spirit begins this work in regeneration. In sanctification, He performs it until the day of Jesus Christ, as we read a moment ago in Philippians 1:6. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4:15 speaks of regenerate persons when it says that we grow up into Christ our head in all things. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And we are often urged, as we saw in, I believe it was the last message, we're often urged in God's Word to increase and grow in sanctification. For example, turn to 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 is one example of how we're often urged to grow in sanctification. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow, or that means increase, in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Sanctification nourishes a spiritual baby and promotes its growth to spiritual maturity. So sanctification is to be distinguished from regeneration as growth is from birth. Sanctification necessarily begins with and continues as a consequence of regeneration. A.W. Pink said it like this in his book, The Doctrine of Sanctification. Quote, in regeneration, the Spirit imparts spiritual life to us. In sanctification, He strengthens and develops that life. Recently, I came across a book by a man named John Stock, and I never heard of John Stock, but I was gratified to learn that he was one of Charles Spurgeon's favorite theologians. And John Stock said this, regeneration is the producing of the inward principle of spiritual life. Sanctification is the continuous activity and health of that life. Unquote. At the new birth, all grace and holiness are given by the Spirit. His resulting work is to draw out these things into exercise and act. Octavius Winslow said that the incorruptible seed sown in the new birth, of which Peter speaks in 1 Peter 1:23, germinates into a plant and blossoms and ripens into the fruit of holiness. I wish I could say things like those old preachers could. The life of God in the soul of man contains the principle of growth. And so he that is not growing spiritually has no spiritual life. He that is not being progressively sanctified has not been regenerated. A third comparison and contrast between regeneration and sanctification is this. Regeneration is an act of God's creative power. Regeneration is an act of God's creative power. Turn again to Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. This verse says that the new man is created in holiness, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In this supernatural creative act of regeneration, old things pass away, and all things become new in the Christian. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You're familiar with this verse, I trust. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Regeneration is instantaneous. Something that happens like that. Consisting of one single creative act. There are no degrees of regeneration. Sanctification, however, is a work of God the Holy Spirit in the life of a regenerate person. Sanctification, strictly speaking, is not an act, but a work of God's grace. And by that work, He develops, perfects, and continues the work that He has begun. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit of God in us, a real, internal, and powerful work that produces holiness in the believer's life. When the work of renewal has been done in regeneration, exhortations to a holy life now find a ready response in the heart. You know, I could exhort people to live a holy life. If they were unregenerate, they'd be bored at that and they'd want to leave. They wouldn't want to be here. But once the renewal of regeneration has happened, then exhortations like that to live a holy life find a ready response in the heart. Holiness is the effect of regeneration. Where there is no sanctification, there is no regeneration. Where there is no holy life, there is no new birth. You know, a lot of politicians over the years have talked about, I've been born again, so you ought to vote for me. Brother, if there's no holy life, there's no new birth. As at the beginning of this work, so in its progress, the Holy Spirit operates by direct and indirect influences. The Holy Spirit continues to sanctify those whom He has regenerated, and He prepares them fully to enjoy heaven. Remember, that's one of the purposes of sanctification, is to prepare us to enjoy heaven. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is supernatural, but it is produced by the use of means, both internal, such as faith and repentance, and external, such as the Word of God, prayer, and Christian fellowship. 2 Corinthians 7:1 makes clear that the believer's own efforts are involved in sanctification. Now, I'm saying this because there are those who say that when you're saved, you're sanctified and there's nothing else to do. Turn to 2 Corinthians 7:1 again, which makes clear that the believer's own efforts are involved in this sanctification. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A fourth comparison and contrast of regeneration with sanctification is this. Regeneration imparts a new nature. Regeneration imparts a new nature, gives us a new nature. No inclination to holiness exists in the natural man because he's dead in trespasses and sin, and he's blind to spiritual things. No holy act can be performed by him. Oh, yes, he can go through the motions of religious ceremonies and so forth, but they're not holy acts when he does those. No holy act can be performed by an unregenerate man. No service to God can be performed by an unregenerate man. By nature, man has a total inability to do anything spiritual. He might do things that are considered spiritual, but inwardly they're not. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The older I get, the more I appreciate how pivotal this verse is to the doctrines of grace, to all of them, as well as to sanctification and regeneration. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Apostle Paul says here, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, neither does he have the ability to know them, because they are spiritually discerned." A new nature must be received that can love and seek after holiness. In regeneration, the Holy Spirit produces a great moral change by which the subject becomes inclined to holiness. This change is so great in regeneration that the subject is called a new creature. In such verses as 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians 6:15. We just read 2 Corinthians 5:17 earlier. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, Galatians 6:15. Let's look at that one. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. You shouldn't be too far away from that. Galatians 6:15. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." In his first epistle, the Apostle John tells us four specific things about this new nature that are very important in understanding the new birth and sanctification. Now, you'll notice that I'm going over a lot on regeneration. I don't get too many chances to preach two sermons in one. But here's one on regeneration and one on sanctification in the same sermon. All right. These are four specific things about the new nature that are mentioned in John's first epistle. Turn to 1 John 3:9, first of all. In 1 John 3:9, John says that he that is born of God does not commit sin. Very important we understand the meaning of this. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now, you know, a lot of people just go crazy with this. They say that destroys your whole system in Christianity. It's not possible to be sinlessly perfect in this life. In this verse, it's not that this person is sinless, because 1 John 1:8 says that the Christian sins. John wouldn't contradict himself within just a few verses like that if that meant sinless perfection. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, 1 John 1:8 says. Well, what does John mean here? Well, there's three or four things that he can mean. Every one of them is correct, I believe. This means, first of all, that he cannot serve sin. He keeps himself from the evil one. I've heard people explain that as the new nature, that actual regenerate part of a man can't sin. But he does. That's not, you know, your regenerate part's not separated from your natural part when you're born again. So that's, anyway. Turn next to 1 John 3. Well, let me just say this one. I'm going to pass on a little bit here. 1 John 3, 9 through 14 says that he that is born of God doeth righteousness. He does righteous things. Thirdly, turn to 1 John 4:7. 1 John 4:7 says that he that is born of God loves the brethren. 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Why don't people like to go to church? Why don't they like to run around with people like you and me? Because they're not regenerate. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Finally, John says in this epistle that he who is born of God overcomes the world. Look at 1 John 5:4-5. 1 John 5:4-5. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? The predominant character of every regenerate person is holiness. Holiness. The regenerate person is spiritual. And he delights in the law of God after the inward man, as Paul says in Romans 7:22. The new man of regeneration is the new principle of grace. And the new principle of grace and holiness that's worked in the soul in regeneration. Brother Anderson, I believe this is what Pink was talking about, as you said in the book this morning. At regeneration, the Holy Spirit puts a new principle of life into a person. In that sense, there is a holiness involved or imparted in regeneration. So regeneration is necessary as the basis for sanctification. Sanctification, on the other hand, encourages a new life in that new nature, a holy life. Sanctification produces a new life. In regeneration, a principle of holiness is given to us. In sanctification, that principle is exercised by us. It's put to work. Regeneration is the initial act by which the new nature is imparted. Sanctification is the progressive development of that new nature. Regeneration implants the germ of holiness in the heart. Sanctification is the unfolding of that germ. He who is born again and made a new creature receives a new nature and always lives a new life. A regenerate person who is being sanctified always lives a new life. Where there is no holy life, there is no new nature. Now, in case you haven't caught it, I've said that four times in this message. Where there is no holy life, there is no new nature. No man can be fit for heaven without the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that begins in the new birth. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, according to Hebrews 11:14. Any regeneration that allows a person to live carelessly in sin and worldliness is a false and counterfeit regeneration. The effects of the new birth are tied inseparably to the biblical doctrine of sanctification. Where there is no sanctification, there is no regeneration. The sanctified are only those who have been regenerated. And the regenerated are only those who are being sanctified. Now then, let's briefly review the biblical relationship of sanctification to regeneration. We've seen that this relationship can be summed up in the three components of biblical sanctification. Number one, regeneration. That's definitive sanctification. Number two, progressive sanctification. And number three, we haven't really touched on this yet, glorification. Sanctification begins with the new birth or regeneration. It continues all the way to the death of the believer and even beyond that to his glorification at last when his Savior comes again, raises his body from the grave, changes that body to be like Christ's glorious body, reunites that body with his soul to live in heaven with Christ forever. Someone else has stated this by speaking of the three tenses of sanctification. I believe this is worthy of being written down. The three tenses of sanctification are these. All of God's elect, one, have been sanctified. That's past tense. Have been sanctified. How can we say the believer has been sanctified? This is regeneration. This is definitive sanctification. Secondly, all God's elect are being sanctified right now. Present tense. This is the ongoing process of sanctification going on in this life. And thirdly, the third tense of sanctification, all God's elect shall be sanctified in the future at glorification. That is, their sanctification will climax in their glorification. Romans 8:30 speaks of this future tense of sanctification. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's the climax of sanctification. I wonder this afternoon, have you been regenerated? Have you been born again? Are you being sanctified right now? Made less and less like the world and more like Jesus Christ, your Savior. Do you have the hope of glorification at last, which is the climax of sanctification? Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this wonderful, glorious doctrine of sanctification. We pray that by comparing it with the doctrine of regeneration, we might have a greater understanding of this matter of sanctification. Help us, our Father, to judge ourselves by whether or not we are being sanctified right now. Because without sanctification, one does not have regeneration, as we have seen. We pray that your Holy Spirit would use this message to accomplish your will in every life here and to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together. What number shall we sing, Brother?